Kids Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's golden years. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Levionier. Great pictures to see in your theater of the mind in this hour of drama. Later on, the story, The Dark Hour, on the Radio City Playhouse, but now a gripping one on escape called The Game. Penned and directed by Anthony Ellis, this episode from August 30th, 1953, on CBS.
Tired of the everyday grind? Ever dream of a life of romantic adventure? Want to get away from it all? We offer you Escape.
Escape, designed to free you from the four walls of today for a half hour of high adventure.
Ladies and gentlemen, we present a story of two boys and the dreadful game which they played. You might have read about it in your newspaper, might have happened in your town. And if it did, it must never happen again.
There were two of them. They stood on the corner of Main and Elm, leaning back against the wall, indolent. Summer sun warm, bringing to them the astringent odor of soft tar and the crack of the sidewalk. It was 2 o'clock by the hands of the jeweler's clock a few doors down the street. And it was at 2 o'clock, quite innocently at first, that the dreadful game began.
What do you want to do, Penn? I don't know. You? I don't know. We could have a couple of games of ping pong. You got the dough? 40 cents. We could, then. I don't know. No, I don't feel like it. Okay. Hey, we could shoot some pool. What's the matter? You always want to play games. Kid stuff. You know something? What? I feel like getting drunk. You're kidding. I'm not kidding. You're kidding. What do you want to get drunk for? For fun. Yeah, some fun. My folks won't be back till later tonight.
Not me, boy. Not me.
I can get hold of a bottle.
Not me, boy.
Chicken?
That's me.
Okay, so long.
Hey, Red. Wait a minute, Red.
You kidding? What do you want to do that for? You got any better ideas what to do?
No, but I don't care. I'll see you.
You know what would happen if they ever found out. They won't find out. You can stay over at my house tonight. Call your folks. Nobody will know.
It's crazy.
No, it isn't. Don't you ever want to do something different? We're not kids. Maybe you are. Maybe you need a couple of drinks to grow up.
Big man, I'm 2 weeks older than you.
Not up here, boy. Not up here.
Nuts to you.
And they walked slowly, carrying the idea to a white house with gray trim. A house well lived in. Empty now, but waiting. And the boys went in, upstairs, into a room papered with ships and pennants, signs and maps. One, Red, disappeared for a few minutes. The other tried to become interested in a book of fighting ships. He was afraid of what was to come, knowing why and not quite knowing.
No. The gardener hid it in the woods yet. I found it a couple of weeks ago. Hid it somewhere else. Boy, I bet that fractured him. How do you like it?
I don't care.
Straight?
Sure.
Water chasing?
What about you?
No water for me.
Same thing.
Sit down. We'll talk.
They drank. They didn't like it, but they'd started the game and they couldn't stop. The small clock with an hour front piece ticked above them, the eyes of the bird metronomically switching from side to side. A car passed occasionally and there was a tension until the sound of tire and engine faded away. It didn't take too long for the warmth to grow and the eyes to become hot the tongue loose.
Boy. Elaine. Yeah, the girl. Wouldn't be bad having her up here now, huh?
Yeah. Wouldn't be bad.
Can you ever take her out?
A couple of times, maybe.
All right, huh? Next?
No.
Not much.
Oh.
I thought you two were like that.
That's what I heard last term.
You kidding. You know what's the matter with you, Ken?
What?
You're soft. I'm your friend, boy, I can tell you. What the other guys say and think, you know? Guts, boy. Not all there, not enough. You're your friend, honey, I like you. But you gotta have guts.
I got guts.
Not enough. That's what all the guys think. Ken's okay. He's kind of soft, you know? Chicken.
Yeah?
I'm telling you. I don't want to be a pal to a guy who's soft. You gotta be hard. Be like the other
How
guy.
You figure all this, huh? Nobody asks you. I know what I am. I know I'm not soft. I'm not chicken.
You're afraid to get drunk.
I'm getting drunk with you.
Because you were afraid I'd think you were chicken. That's why. That's why.
You're crazy.
I've seen you afraid. I had to explain it to the guys.
When?
The time we went shooting ducks for the old man's shotgun. You were chicken then.
You're crazy.
The guys thought you were. Afraid of the gun.
Well, that's not chicken.
Well, that's what I told them. But I'm not sure. Now, you can't run out on that boy. I'm your friend, and I'm telling you for your own good.
Okay, you told me I'm chicken. No guts, now forget it.
Afraid of a gun. You and me can never go hunting up in the mountains, I'll tell you that.
Cut it out.
You are, kid. You're chicken.
You want to fight? Is that what you want? Huh? You want to?
What? Boy, that doesn't mean anything. Kid stuff. I got a better idea. You want to really do something that'll show, boy, that'll really show it?
Do what?
Play a game. You like games? Real easy games to learn. Nothing to it. Have a drink. Sit down. Yeah? Yeah, I read about it a while back. Russian roulette.
I never heard. Some kind of gamble?
I'll tell you. It's real easy. First, you get a gun. A revolver. A real gun, Ken. Bullet gun, Ken.
For what?
You take one bullet and you leave it in the gun, see? Then we take turns.
What kind of crazy game is that?
We take turns pointing at our heads and pulling the trigger. If nothing happens to you, I take the gun, bend the cylinder, and point it at my head, and shoot.
You call it a game?
Sure. See which one goes chicken first. You never know where the bullet is. And if you spin the cylinder and the bullet comes up on your turn, Louis.
Oh, that's nuts.
In this book, it went a long time. And then one guy got like you get. He was chicken and he pulled it.
Listen, I'm sick of hearing you say that. Now, I'm sick of it, you hear? You want to know something? You get chicken before me, you.
I wouldn't do it to you, Ken. Don't worry. Wouldn't be fair. Forget
now,
it.
Now, wait a minute. You started it. Go ahead. Finish it.
Your old man got a gun, has he?
Sure. Okay. You want to be crazy? Okay, go ahead. Get the gun. Go ahead. Well, go on. Get it. Let's start playing.
Red smiled a smile of pity. With deliberate ease, he sauntered from the room. Finn might have seen him stagger a moment as he reached the door, but Finn wasn't looking. He was noticing, for the first time, his hands lying flattened on the table, disassociated. There was a scar on the right index finger. He got it when he cut himself 12 years before on his first borrowed scout knife. Now, only the scar. A memory on a trigger finger. He didn't look up again until Red came back with the gun.
.38. That's the best handgun. Want to hold it?
No.
I figured you wouldn't. It's okay. We'll forget it.
Go ahead.
Take
break out the wound. Okay. Take out five. Leave one. Huh, Penny? Yes. Take out five. One bullet. For you or for me? Okay. Okay.
The gun. The gun rested muzzle to the wall in the center of the table. The table bearing scratches made by a 3-year-old in a forgotten moment of high experiment. The boys sat opposite each other looking down at the gun. Because the whiskey affected them with a strange new feeling, details of the table edge, a wall, pattern on the rug, these details on the fringe were blurred, but not the gun. The gun was clear and precise, and the gun waited.
You want to go first? Doesn't make any difference. Me neither. Flip a coin. Okay. Head. Okay. I'll take first shot.
The game then. Sportsmanship. With the toss of the coin, a drink of whiskey, the glass put down. And next to come the lifting of the gun. Finn stared at us and thought how he would best reach out to take the handle gracefully, practically. He had never held a revolver in his life.
The bullet comes up when I shoot. I don't know. One in six, I guess. I don't know. Okay.
He was a careful boy, and so he didn't put the muzzle to his head immediately. At this point of the game, there was a numbness which did not allow for speculation of pain, mother, father. Rather, Pin was surprised by the weight of the gun, the physical oneness with it lying in his hand. He was afraid of it and fascinated in his fear. Red watched, his mouth open a little, eyes reddened with drinking, but bright, watchful, seeing the friend of his youth slowly raise the gun, unsteady and awkwardly turning the barrel to his head. He wet his lips and waited.
Go up. No. How'd it feel? I don't know. Are you scared? I guess so. I don't. You sure what's scared? Real white. I didn't think you'd do it. You took one.
You're doing a lot of talking. You're scared. It's your turn.
Give me the gun. Boy, that's a real gun. Remember when we were kids? Bet you never thought we'd be doing this.
No.
Okay. My turn. Where are you, baby? Where are you? Want to make a side bet on this one?
It's going to pay me if you lose.
Watch, then. When you make up your mind to do it quick, see? Like this? Now Fine, you swear it out, yeah. Pretty good game, huh? I'll make you one bet, though.
What's that?
Can you crack four? I don't.
You're nuts.
A buck? A buck?
Sure, a buck.
The game had taken another turn. It presented an added incentive to win. A dollar bet that one boy would be a coward. A boy would lose his nerve. Wouldn't have the guts to take another chance at blowing his brains out. Good bet, that. Sensible. Bright young man. The room was too warm. And outside, the middle afternoon sun blazed down hot on the heavy sycamore trees, dusty and still. A 12-year-old passed by on the street whistling tunelessly, childishly, on his way to the drugstore for a soda.
Go ahead. Or do you want to quit now?
I'll do it. Don't worry. I'm not quitting.
Boy, I'll say this for you. A guy who's as scared of guns as you are, you're doing all right. It gets tougher now, though. It's all in the luck, you know? You lucky, Ben?
Yeah. I'm lucky.
That's good.
I'm not lucky. I'm not anything. Why am I doing this?
What if I hear the noise before I feel pain? Or what it'll be like when Grandma died, if there wasn't any pain? It's too hot in here. The gun feels hot. Red thinks I'm yellow. Oh, I'd like to. I wonder if he'd keep on smiling if I pointed the gun at him. Maybe you need another drink, huh?
No. I don't want any more.
Okay. Well.
Red.
What's the idea? What are you pointing at me for? Are
you scared?
No, I'm not scared.
Maybe we should play a pistol for a while. I shoot at you. You shoot at me.
That's not the game.
Why not? Same thing?
No. That'd be like murder. You want to play, you play it right. Who says the way we've been playing is right?
Oh, I get it.
You're trying to get out of taking your next shot.
I'm asking you, who says the way we're playing is right?
Listen, will you quit pointing at
me? What difference does it make? Just tell me that.
It's the difference. We're playing Russian roulette. That's the difference. You want to quit, say so, that's all.
I'm not quitting.
Okay, then. Take your shot.
It was a thing to be well considered on the part of Red. The abstract quality of self-destruction is one thing, but a gun pointed at him, gun held in another hand, this was not a game of his choosing. He'd have no part of it. Suddenly he knew himself to be sober, terribly sober. And because of this and the fact that the game had mushroomed beyond his understanding, there was no stopping the play. He knew that Pin was sober too. And as from a great distance, he saw his friend raise the gun, but steadily this time, pressure heightening the index finger, the muzzle touching just at a pulsing vein he had noticed in Pin's temple.
I didn't die. I didn't die. Now he's got to do it again. I showed him I did it. That's twice for me. He's got to take his turn now. I've lived twice. He hasn't yet. I wonder how this started. I wonder why it doesn't stop. Maybe there were only five bullets in the thing. No, there were six. I saw them. There's still one in there. My legs can't sleep. I wish I could get up. Walk on it.
You're a lucky guy.
Yeah. I'm lucky, too.
You better be.
My turn now. My turn. Why didn't he quit? He's never had guts. Why didn't he quit? Maybe he's so drunk he hasn't got the sense. No, he's not drunk. Why didn't he quit? It's my turn. I gotta do it. He'd tell everyone if I didn't. He'd tell them all and they'd laugh. I don't know. I don't know. It feels like the bullet might be coming up.
Not yet, not yet. I got to smile like I'm enjoying it. This will be something to tell our kids, huh, Ben?
Yeah, it sure will. How long are you going to take?
What's the matter? Make you nervous?
Why should I be nervous? It's your shot.
Okay, then. Shut up, huh?
He's scared. He's scared. He doesn't want to do it. I'm not the only one. All his big talk. He's no more than me. All that big talk. Look at him. He's scared.
It was at the moment that Penn discovered this truth, that he knew he wanted to, he could quit the game. And as he looked at Red, he became aware of great anger. It had no direction, no apparent reason, but it filled him and made him strong.
Let's quit.
You're crazy.
I want to quit.
Nuts to you. My shot.
I don't care what quit.
You quit when it's your shot. I'll take care of myself.
I'm telling you, Red, put the gun down.
Drop dead.
Put it down.
You're chicken.
Yeah.
No.
Better answer the telephone.
Yeah. Hello? Oh. Oh, Mom. Oh, Frank. No. No, I'm with Ken. No, I'm fine. Oh, that. We've been playing. Kind of rough, I guess. Sure, Mom. Everything's fine. Thanks.
Go on.
Red stood by the telephone for a long time. And he cried. But he hadn't cried for a long time. Ken stayed in the room. He felt it too, in his throat, the thickness, the tight-held tears. Neither boy knew what it was or why. And then after a while, he was calm again. Red came back in.
Hey,
that was Mom.
Oh?
She said we could go to the tavern for dinner if we like. Charge it. That'd be okay.
Well.
Yeah. Well, I guess we better clean up the place, huh?
Guess we better.
They cleaned up, not saying much to each other. They felt very close, and were not able to express their closeness. Then there was the last thing to do, and the last part of the game to be played. They had to know. So they walked to the edge of the town into a shallow ravine. Red took the gun from his pocket. He still had the shot he'd never fired at himself. He aimed at a half-burned tree stump some 50 yards away and slowly began to squeeze the trigger.
Escape, on Tuned to Yesterday from August 30th, 1953 on CBS. You're listening to an hour of drama on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark LeVonier. Now we turn to the dramatic anthology series, The Radio City Playhouse. As the name implies, this was broadcast from New York, and we hear Jan Minor and John Larkin in the play The Dark Hour from September 25th, 1948 on NBC.
Here is Radio City Playhouse, Attraction 13, The Dark Hour. This is a story about Paul. Paul Gallagher. It is a story about Paul when something happens to him. It is the story of the fears and thoughts within him when it happens. And it is the story of the voice that speaks these thoughts. It is not, we think, an ordinary story. Paul won't tell very many people about this. I say won't, because it hasn't happened yet. It is just now beginning to happen.
Paul. Paul Gallagher. Wake up, Paul.
Paul is lying on the ground asleep. He is on a summer vacation. This afternoon, he went for a walk by himself along a dirt road that winds through the woods, about a mile from his family's summer cottage. It's a lonely road, never much traffic on it, but Paul knows it well. He's been on it dozens of times every summer of his life, except while he was away in the army.
Wake up, Paul. Open your eyes.
He is stretched out flat on his back, lying still, except for his breathing, which is slow and regular and gentle. Where is he? Well, after walking a while, he stepped off the road through an opening in the brush and into a familiar clearing in the woods. It was warm and peaceful, and he lay down on his back and gazed through the rippling treetops at the patch of blue sky above him. And without meaning to, Paul Gallagher fell asleep. That's where he is now.
Waking up. That's right, Paul. Move. Stretch. Open your eyes. Listen, Paul. Listen deep within you. I am you, Paul. You've heard me before, haven't you? I am you. You'd better wake up, Paul. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Then open your eyes, Paul. Open your eyes. What's the matter?
Where am I?
Dark.
Dark.
Pitch dark.
Pitch dark.
Call out for help.
Where?
What's the matter, Paul? Frightened?
Oh, only for a moment, I...
Remember now, Paul. Remember where you are.
Yes, I'm lying on a little patch of grass and moss in the woods.
Right where you lay down this afternoon, Paul?
I remember.
What time did you go to sleep, Paul?
Oh, about 3 o'clock, I guess.
And now it's pitch dark. Black dark, isn't it? Better make very sure where you are. Put your hands out and feel the ground around you.
Yes, it's moss and grass, all right.
Well, at least you know where you are.
Oh, of all the screwball things to do, sleeping all this time.
What time is it, Paul?
Well, I can't see my watch.
Light a match.
I guess I haven't any matches.
In summer, the twilight lasts until around 9 o'clock. It's so dark now you can't see a thing, can you?
Boy, this is one for the books.
You must have been very tired, Paul.
Yes, I must have been very tired.
Tired enough to fall asleep accidentally and sleep for 7 hours, maybe more?
Didn't know I was that tired.
When they discharged you from that army hospital, what did they tell you?
Oh, that was a long time ago, 2 years.
What did they tell you, Paul?
Nothing.
What did they tell you?
Well, they said, take it easy, be careful.
Why did they say that? Why, Paul? Why, Paul?
I had a rough trip getting up here for my vacation. That long, hot train ride, sitting up all night for 2 nights. It's very tiring.
Or maybe it's a change of climate. This fresh northern air just knocked you out.
Yes, that must be it. Funny, isn't it?
Paul, get up. You can't just lie there. Sit up.
Yeah, I am.
That's right. Brush the grass and twigs from your sweater. What's the matter?
Nothing.
Why are you rubbing the side of your face, Paul?
Skin is all dented. I slept with my face pressing right into the grass, I guess, and that...
What's the matter, Paul? Why are you rubbing your temple with your finger? What's the matter, Paul?
My scar. Stinging like a needle. The twig must have been digging into it while I was asleep.
You'd better be getting home.
Yes.
Stand up.
Yeah, I'm standing.
What are you waiting for?
I don't know which way to go. It's so dark. I've never known it to be so dark before. Why, I can't even tell where the trees end and the sky begins up there.
Probably it clouded over while you were asleep, Paul.
Yeah, that's it.
You're not afraid of the dark. Think, Paul. Think how often you walked home along that road in the dark when you were a kid. You can do it again.
Of course I can do it again.
The first thing is to get out of the clearing onto the road. Figure it out.
Now, let's see. I came in, went over to the old tree, and then... Well, the opening must be in this direction.
Which way, Paul?
This way.
Go on, Paul. Stretch out your arms in front of you. Step forward. Step, step, step. What's the matter?
I should have reached the edge of the clearing by now, one way or another.
Do you feel anything yet?
No.
Maybe you hit the exit from the clearing right on the button the first time.
Yeah, maybe I did.
Step forward, then.
Oh.
What happened?
I don't know. Something slapped me in the face.
Put out your hand and see what it was.
No.
Go on.
What? Oh. It's only a leaf. A little branch hanging down over my head.
You missed the opening.
Well, how am I going to get out of here?
Suppose a car went by on the road outside the clearing.
Why, then...
Then you would know where the exit is.
Yes.
But how often do cars go by on that road?
It might be hours before one went by. I don't want to wait. I want to get out of here.
Take it easy, Paul.
All right.
Think, Paul. Think.
I know.
What, Paul?
The branch.
Good, Paul. That's right. Grab it. There. Now pull it down. Go on. Twist it. Twist. There. The branch broke off right into your hands, didn't it? Now what, Paul?
The twigs.
That's right, Paul. Strip off the twigs and the leaves. All of them.
There. Now...
What have you got now, Paul?
A stick. Now I can feel where I'm going.
Good. Which way are you going to try?
Left, I think. Yes, left.
Is that the opening?
Wait, I'm walking on leaves.
What does that mean?
Well, I must be going into the woods instead of out by the opening.
Then do something.
I...
Back up. Back out of there. Now go on, Paul. To the left. Keep at it, Paul.
I might go deeper into the woods.
Keep at it, Paul.
Wait.
What, Paul?
Wait, I think I...
Why are you stopping, Paul?
I've made it. I'm out. I'm through the opening and out by the road.
How do you know?
I know it. I can feel it. I can feel more space around me.
Better be sure. Use the stick. Step forward, Paul. Slowly. 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 Watch out for the ditch, Paul. Well, Paul, you had to step over that roadside ditch when you entered the clearing before falling asleep, didn't you? Remember now? You saw the water in it and the mud and the wet leaves then, didn't you? Get up. Get to your feet. Go on, Paul. There. You should be standing by the side of the road now. Stop trembling.
That ditch. The lousy, rotten, foul, misbegotten, accursed ditch.
Paul?
I forgot the ditch. That lousy, rotten ditch.
Calm down, Paul. Shake the mud off your clothes. Where is your sense of proportion?
Sure as blazes isn't my night, is it?
You'd better get going.
Yes.
What are you waiting for, Paul?
You know, when I was a kid and walked home on this road at night, even on the darkest nights, the sky was just faintly lighter than the woods. It made a sort of canyon of the road that you could follow easy. You couldn't see the road, but some kind of visual sense let you know what it was.
But not tonight, Paul.
Tonight? Tonight I can't see a blessed thing. The darkest night I've ever seen. It's black. I don't know.
Are you nervous?
Yes. Yes, I am.
In what way?
I don't quite know. I can't quite figure it out.
What do you feel, Paul?
In my stomach. Sick.
Do you feel something strange? Something wrong?
Yes.
Have you ever felt it before, Paul?
No.
Never?
No.
How about the war, Paul?
No.
Remember the war, Paul?
No, no.
Yes, yes, Paul, you have felt like this before.
No, never.
Oh, yes, Paul. Think about it. Remember it.
No. Stop. Leave me alone.
The war, Paul. The war. The war. The war.
Hey, Mac.
Yeah?
Mac, listen.
Yeah, Paul, I'm listening.
Oh, never mind. It's nothing.
Say, what's eating you? You look like you're ready for your shroud.
Oh, it's nothing.
Locking your frame in this lousy trench giving you the willies, huh?
Well, I...
Say, what is the matter with you?
Well, it's... Look, Mac, do me a favor, will you?
Yeah?
Here's my wallet and some other stuff.
What?
Now, keep them for me, will you? And then if you... Well, if you have to, you'll know what to do with them.
Oh, no. Now, wait a sec, Paul.
Sure,
I'll keep them if you want, but... You're just putting a whammy on yourself.
No, I just got a feeling, that's all. Today is it, the ticket, the one with the label on it, and all that junk. I wish I could be funny about it, but I just feel so rotten, lousy, bad.
You want to talk to the chaplain, maybe?
No, I've talked to him. Thanks. Look at me, Mac. Look right at me.
Yeah?
I'm scared. But I'm not just scared. I know it's going to happen. I can feel it all through me. You understand me, Mac? I know it. Know it.
Paul, steady, Paul. You're still standing by the side of the road. Is that the way you feel again?
I'll leave me alone. I don't remember.
All right, Paul. All right.
I've got to relax.
You'd better get going, Paul.
Yes, but how am I going to stay on the road if I can't see it?
Figure it out. What kind of a road is it?
Why, it's an ordinary dirt road.
And?
Yes. Yes, I see. Car wheels throw most of the dirt and gravel to the side. That leaves hard, bare tracks in the center.
And
all I have to do is feel for a hard, bare part with my feet, and it'll be like a track to follow. If I feel myself walking in loose gravel, I'll know I'm getting on the shoulder off the road.
Good for you, Paul.
Yeah, now I'm getting smart. There. There's a bare track.
Turn to your right, Paul. Start walking. Walk, Paul.
I'm walking.
Soon, you won't have to concentrate so hard on feeling the road through your feet. Soon, your feet will keep to the road almost automatically. Soon, you won't... What is it, Paul?
My wound. A scar. It's stinging again.
Your scar?
Oh, what's the matter with it anyway?
It hasn't bothered you for a long time, has it?
No. Now it's stinging. It goes right through my head.
Is that why you're holding your head in your hands? Steady, Paul. What are you thinking of, Paul? The war again?
Oh, I'm dizzy.
Why are you thinking of the war again, Paul? Can you help it?
Oh, I'm dizzy.
Steady, Paul. Steady, Paul. Steady, Paul.
What time is it, Paul?
3:16.
The 219's supposed to attack that hill over there soon. That should divert some of this fire from us, huh?
Yeah, Mac.
What time did you say it was, Paul?
3:16.
What time is it now?
Look, how many rotten times do I have to tell
you? You all right, Paul? Hey, are you... Paul! Hey, Goring, come here! Bolton! Bolton, man!
Walking.
Are you all right now?
Yes, I'm all right.
What's the matter with your head, Paul?
I don't know, my wound...
What was it?
Shrapnel.
What do you remember about it?
Remember?
Yes. Don't you remember anything about your wound?
No, it's all fixed up now.
Don't you remember the hospital?
The hospital? Yes.
What did they do in the hospital?
Do?
What did they do?
They fixed it up. They fixed up the wound.
Don't you remember?
What?
Where is your wound, Paul?
It's in my head.
Where in your head?
My temple.
Where?
My temple.
Say it again.
My temple.
Is that a bad place to be wounded, Paul? Is that a bad place, Paul? What did they do in the hospital, Paul? Do you remember now, Paul? The hospital? The hospital?
Paul Gallagher, aren't you?
Yeah, that's right. Every time I turn over, comes a new nurse. Are you new on this shift?
No, I'm not on the wards.
Oh, well, hello anyway.
We're ready for you now, Paul.
You ready for me?
Yes.
For what? What gives?
Why, for your operation, of course.
Operation?
Why, yes. Didn't anyone tell you?
No, they didn't. So that's what all that fussing with me was about last night and this morning. Oh, great, isn't that just like the Army? I'd say a rotten thing. Why do they have to operate?
Well, I don't know.
Well, it's practically healed. I thought it was perfectly all right. What's the matter with it?
Come on, Paul. They're waiting for you. Here, put on your slippers.
Look, isn't it healing properly? What's wrong with it, nurse?
Come on, Paul. We can't keep them waiting.
Well, can't you tell me? What's the matter?
All right, Paul. I'm going to put this over your face. There. Now, breathe deeply. That's right. Take deep breath. What's this one, Doctor?
Small piece of shrapnel in the temple. Seemed all right at first. We let it heal without taking it out. Ready, nurse?
Just a minute, Doctor.
So, what's the matter now?
Danger of pressure on the optic nerve. It's going to be a tricky business.
Mm-hmm. Any chance of loss of vision?
Chance, yes. I don't think so, but... He could be all right tomorrow and then sometime later. Just can't tell now. Yes, blindness is unlikely, but perfectly possible.
Any chance, loss of vision?
Perfectly possible. Perfectly possible. Perfectly possible.
Thank you.
must have slept back there with my scar pressing on a twig or a small stone or something. Pressed on a nerve, probably. That's what makes it sting so.
That's probably it. Dark, isn't it? Look up, Paul. Look up to the sky. Do you see anything, Paul?
I ought to be able to see something, shouldn't I?
It's uncanny, isn't it?
No, it's clouded over, that's all. It's clouded over.
You're all alone in the dark, and it feels hollow and tight in the pit of your stomach.
Well, that's natural. That's perfectly natural.
Paul.
It's so dark.
It couldn't be any worse, could it, if you were blind? How do you know you're not blind, Paul? How do you know it's a very dark night? How do you know it isn't about 4 o'clock in the afternoon? How do you know you didn't fall asleep with two good eyes and wake up blind? What did the doctors say? Why is there a pain in your temple?
Oh, I'm crazy. I'm absolutely crazy.
On the other hand, Paul, why should you be blind?
The doctors...
They said it was possible, didn't they? Did they say it was probable?
No.
Why shouldn't it be a dark night?
It could be.
Why shouldn't you sleep several hours?
I was very tired.
It's not very likely that you're blind, is it?
No, it's not very likely.
Figure it out, then. What haven't you done all this time?
What haven't I done?
Your ears.
My ears?
Yes. Listen. What's that?
Just the breeze in the trees up there.
And that?
Crickets and insects.
What about birds?
Birds?
If you heard birds singing, it wouldn't be nighttime, would it? What was that?
What?
Didn't you hear it? Sounded like a robin, didn't it?
I don't know, maybe.
There.
Was that a crow?
Birds don't sing in the heat of the day. It might still be too hot at 4 in the afternoon. So even if you don't hear birds, it might be daytime. Do you feel the warm sun?
I don't know. Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes. No. No, it's not warm.
Listen. Was that a squirrel?
Where?
Now. There's a robin.
I think so. No, I don't know. I didn't hear anything.
The squirrel chattering, don't you hear it?
I don't know.
You're listening too hard.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
You don't know what you hear.
Oh, dear God, please.
Paul.
What?
Pull yourself together.
All right.
They're letting it get you down. Brace up. Paul, whether you're blind or not...
I'm not blind.
You've got to get home.
I'm not blind.
No. But suppose you were, Paul.
I'm not. It's just my imagination.
Then stop thinking about it.
Stop thinking about it.
And start walking.
I'm walking.
You're not blind. Force yourself to stop thinking about it.
Don't think about it.
Your mind is whirling. Stop thinking about it.
Stop thinking.
Stop thinking about it.
Dear God, don't let me be blind. Please, please don't let me be
blind.
Stop.
Listen.
What is it?
Listen. Do you hear it?
Yes. Yes, yes, I hear it.
Do you know what it is?
Yes, it's a car.
Where is it?
It's way, way off in the woods ahead of me.
Is it coming this way or going away?
It's coming this way.
Now.
Yes, now I'll know.
Get off the road.
Yes.
It's coming closer, isn't it?
Yes.
Wait for it.
I'm waiting.
It's coming closer now, isn't it?
Yes, closer.
What do you expect to see?
Headlights.
Do you see a glare in the sky yet?
No. No glare.
Why not, Paul? Why not?
I don't know.
Why no glare, Paul?
I don't know. Curves. Curves in the road ahead.
When will you see the lights, Paul?
Soon.
Wait?
Yes, wait.
How soon, Paul?
Very soon.
How soon? How soon? How soon?
What is the fool doing driving on a pitch dark night like this without lights? The fool! The idiot! Driving without lights! Idiot! No lights! No lights! No lights! It's still broad daylight, isn't it? All this time, it's been daylight. Please, help me. Please. I'm blind.
And that is the story of Paul Gallagher. You have just heard Charles Bennett's The Dark Hour, Attraction 13 on Radio City Playhouse.
The Radio City Playhouse on Tuned to Yesterday from September 25th, 1948 on NBC. And that brings to a close this hour of drama on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVanier. Thanks for listening.